Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good evening, everyone. This is Serena from Salt and Pepper. Pete and I are currently sunning ourselves on different parts of the country, so we're not joining you, but we do have a special hour with Noni tonight, so we're going to play you some wonderful highlights of Noni and her wisdom, telling us what she thinks about the world, telling us what she thinks of us, and generally kicking us up the arse. We hope you enjoy the show. Good evening, Ms. Noni Hazelhurst.
Good evening, post-Christmas funkettes.
Funkettes.
Funkettes. Look at it go.
You're looking very refreshed after Christmas. Did you open your tin of salmon?
We had two tins of salmon, if truth be known.
Look at you go. You're lashing out.
We did lash
fancy.
Out.
Very fancy.
Fancy. Red, not pink.
And how was the how were the truffles that we gave you, the chalky truffles?
Well gone.
Yeah? Moment on the lips?
So gone.
Yes, in one sitting.
Well, I don't think I even got to sit. I think I was standing.
You ate them all on the bus, didn't you?
I hoovered them up on the bus. You got it. I wasn't going home with any. I might have had to share them.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be good.
Well, exactly. Tonight, Noni, we talked to you last week around Christmas and Grinching and gifting and all of that sort of mass consumerism.
Not buying, yes.
Now we're heading towards a new year, which I am very happy
barreling
to see the back
it.
Of. So we're not far off the new year now. And this begs the question, do you make resolutions?
I think about it, and then I think, I won't keep to them anyway, so what's the point?
My resolution is to never make any.
Have you ever?
No.
Never, ever, ever made a New Year's resolution?
No. I don't believe in them.
Not even when you were 16 and...
Don't ever really see the point of them.
I wonder where the practice started, whether it's back in the mists of time.
I don't know what that says about me.
You just lack moral fibre, really.
Well, that's always been the case, but, you know, I never really saw the point of them because I always knew that people would make them when they were pissed and, you know...
Oh, no, you make them well in advance.
Only if you're a nerd.
I've had mine written since October.
Oh, really?
It's been in the freezer on a piece of paper.
Oh, no, I never really understood the whole philosophy of hanging all of your hopes and dreams and changes that you want to do on yourself. For yourself, with yourself, to yourself, whatever, on that one night of being pissed and waking up the next morning, oh, forget.
But I guess it's we find it hard to draw boundaries, to draw lines, don't we? If there's something that we're doing that we know we shouldn't be doing or something we'd like to change,
yes,
it's always, yeah, I'm gonna.
But I don't ever wait for New Year's Eve for that.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's an arbitrary line.
Yeah, it's just this line in the sand. It's the logical line in the sand because it's the end of and the precursor to.
But it's also one of those inane questions like, do you have a nice Christmas? Do you make a New Year's resolution?
Hell no.
Yeah, see, I talk about being a non-smoker at the end of the year.
Right. Does anyone care?
No.
Well, no one believes, maybe.
What do you mean at the end of the year? So you can take up a resolution to start again?
No, well, at New Year's Eve, by the end of this coming year, I will not smoke.
So you give yourself another 12 months.
Yeah. So on
I resolve to give up smoking
in 12
months.
That is piss week.
It comes to about the 30th of December and I think, oh, bugger, I better not smoke for a couple of days so that I can say I don't smoke at the end of the year, which I still do because I tend to smoke when I drink. I don't really smoke much during the day. No, you look at me oddly. I don't. Most of the time I smoke when I drink. I do drink a lot, so need to smoke.
All day.
Smoke very regularly.
It's the Jack Daniels first thing in the morning.
Oh, right? No, not Jack Daniels.
It's the Anne.
No, it's gin. Yeah. I've just pulled up the background to this.
Aren't you good?
Yes. Now, this is a secular tradition, mm-hmm. and it has religious parallels, so I should cease and desist immediately.
Mm-hmm.
During Judaism's New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and through the high holidays culminating in Yom Kippur, yep. the Day of Atonement,
yep.
One is to reflect over one's wrongdoings over the year and both seek and offer forgiveness. People may act similarly during the Christian fasting period of Lent, though the motive behind this is more of sacrifice. So the concept, regardless of creed, is to reflect upon self-improvement annually.
Well, I think one should do that every day.
Well, that's the whole point, I think, to my lack of resolution, is that I don't need a religious imprimatur to do it. I don't require the cat of nine tails.
Love the use of that word.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's fabulous.
Is that the cat of nine tails? Is that all about
self-flagellation? Mm-hmm. You know, I can self-flagellate whenever I like.
My word.
And you can pray to St. Jude to help with the hopeless every day of your life.
Do you know what I mean? I think that if you know where you're at and who you are, then it doesn't require a date. Change happens when it happens.
And change happens for a reason.
And when you're ready.
Yeah, and it shouldn't need someone else to know about it.
Mm.
And the need to broadcast it and go, you know, I'm amazing because I will do this.
Unless you're enlisting support, which is valid, I guess.
It's still a bit narcissistic,
but anyway.
Don't let
me drink anymore.
Oh, no, I'm not giving up the booze.
They beat the living bejesus out of you when you don't let them have a drink. No, I think change is your own responsibility. It doesn't require a parade. And I think people would I'd just like them to shut up about it.
So what other things do we, or should we be doing that will take the place of a New Year's resolution?
Well, I certainly do every quarter century I reach, and I've had two of them so far, I do a quarter century stock take. I remember really clearly doing
it. Is that a moral stock take or a...
Oh, whatever.
I'd be there
the
for
hours. The existential
stock
take. I take stock every year on my birthday.
Yeah, not every year.
I actually take Valium every year on my birthday. Oh,
no, I do. I, you know, look, you know, what is it that I've, you know, what have I experienced in the life? It's not a big existential process,
no.
But it's certainly a reflective moment where I think, okay, so what does the next year hold and...
What can I do to achieve what I want
What do
to
I
achieve?
Want, you know? Mm. And it's just a natural process that I fall into in or around my birthday.
Hmm, okay.
Hmm, so that's when you do your... Resolutions.
No, I don't. I don't make any. It's a stock take. It's very different to resolutions.
So it's to look back at the last year.
It's a reflection, and then it's looking forward.
Do you do a sale before the stock take?
Have a stock take sale.
I'm always up for grabs, love. Look, no.
All stock must go.
Yes.
Yep.
It's like a Godfrey's vacuum cleaner.
Down, the prices are down. Nice.
I love anything. A happy ending.
Oh, don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's no shortage of those. Right.
Moving right along, back to
New Year should be a doozy.
Yes. I'm worried about the power grid or whatever it may be.
I wonder what the Chinese New Year is. What is it this year coming up? Is it
it's
dragon?
It's going to be dragon. I'm a rooster.
I'm a snake.
That's why we get on so well.
Is it?
Because roosters and snakes are totally connected.
Oh,
I'm a monkey.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me in any way, shape or form.
People have been saying that all of my life.
You're probably a fire monkey, though.
I'm a cock.
I'd like one of those, please.
God, I hope my mum's not listening. She's going to ring me up and go, Serena, we need to talk.
Yeah, you're using that foul language again.
You need to keep yourself nice is the last conversation
so
we had
sweet.
In there about that. Yeah, so I'm a rooster. Roosters get
Are
on...
Are you a wood rooster, a woodcock or a fire cock or a...
I'm an earth rooster. I'm an earth cock.
Seriously, I am minutes away from blushing.
I think I'm a water snake.
Are you? So you're a bit slippery. Mm-hmm. Oh, talk about tell your story about the drink.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I was invited to go to a bar. I mean, I was in a bar.
You were at a bar.
Having some
holding it up.
Pre-Christmas drinks.
Yeah.
And some young chaps who I'd been working with said, would you like to come to the bar with us? We're going to go and get a wet pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well...
Would you say
I have
nice?
No need of spending money on that. I already have one.
And you heard it here first on Salt and Pepper.
At which point these two young men probably just blushed and...
They did a lot more than blush. Their eyes rolled back in their heads, I'm here to tell you. They'd only just got used to thinking of me doing
with
Go the Book to Sleep. And I know you're only allowed one per evening. So
well, we haven't used it yet.
So
so
it's being used in context, so that's fine.
It is. It's the title of the book. best-selling that I didn't write. Damn it.
On the 23rd of January, we will go into the Year of the Dragon.
Right.
Right. Any predictions for Monkey, Snake and Cock?
Not that I can see.
I think she's a giggling cock, never mind a water cock.
My word to you.
This is why I'm such a homo, because I can never say the word properly.
She's a dirty bursie tonight. I tell you.
I think she needs a wet pussy.
Oh, yes, yes, probably.
What is a wet pussy drink? I've never had one.
Is it
a new one on you, is it?
I'm loath to Google wet pussy because I can only imagine what will come up.
And I think we'll get into trouble server or something.
Shut down the systems here at Joy and I'll be in all manner of strife. So I'm going to leave that alone. What I might do is do some research for next time you're in. I'll speak to a bar person,
lovely,
friend of mine, to the barkeep.
I think my bus is due.
Yeah, I think it is.
You might be right. I think we've exhausted all avenues here.
Yes, and I think things are getting slightly out of hand. we'll see you in 2000. See you next year.
Happy New Year, love.
Happy New Year.
Second decade of the North.
Are you having a tipple?
Of course.
Silly question. Do you go out for New Year's Eve and tie one on, get in the tiles?
No, normally not.
No.
I just love to see Richard Wilkins.
Wouldn't you rather saw off your own ass? Anywho.
It's been real.
Thanks to all of you. Good night.
Yes, good night.
Good night, Nones.
Joy 94.9.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Ice, ice, baby. G'day, Noni Hazelhurst here. Salt and Pepper, Tuesday nights, 11 o'clock, Serena and Pete. Joy 94.9. Listen to it. You'll love it.
Joy 94.9.
So you all know that Noni got into a bit of trouble recently because she was narrating a book with a really dirty title. Noni talks a little bit about that this week. We're going to talk about censorship. We're going to talk to the people behind the YouTube video of Noni Hazelhurst, Go the F to Sleep.
Yes.
That was put up on YouTube last week and promptly taken down because it was considered harmful. So we're talking to the people from Text Publishing around that. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly, you know, this show is all about censorship this week. So we are actually going to talk to Noni about censorship also. So it's kind of got a censorship theme.
And we do have to perhaps warn those people who may be a little delicate around the ears.
The F-bomb is going to be dropped.
There could be swears throughout the program. Yeah. These are all in context, of course. We're not using it gratuitously. It's simply the reading of the book.
We might.
We'll see if we can't drop one ourselves.
Well, if Noni was here, because she likes to drop the F-bomb, so we'll have to do it in her favour. But, you know, we've got some really good stuff coming up. We've got Michael Hayward from Text Publishing on the line.
He's the publisher. Good evening, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Is this a storm in a teacup?
A storm in a teacup? Well, it's one of those books that came along and from a standing start took everybody by surprise. The author of the book, Adam Mansbach, has talked about how this book really began life when, you know, he was having trouble getting his 2-year-old daughter to sleep. And so he just jokingly put a note on his Facebook page saying that his new book would be called Go the Fuck to Sleep. And he got a reaction to that, and so he began to write what has turned out to be an extremely charming parody of an increasingly frustrated parent whose little child won't go to sleep. The book was published in the US by a very small publisher in Brooklyn in New York, and they had originally planned to publish it in October. They'd planned a small print run, but people started emailing the PDF of the book to each other and absolutely weeping with laughter. And this is a really fascinating example of a book that went viral, which was pirated all over the internet. But that has really driven the sales of the physical object. And the joke is only fully embodied when you hold the physical object in your hands. So they brought the pub date forward to June, which is Father's Day in the US. The book went to Amazon, number one on Amazon, long before it was published. And it's become the surprise bestseller of the year.
So what was your reason for bringing Noni into this and for loading the YouTube video that was obviously dragged off late last Wednesday night, I think it was?
I don't know whether you recall, but a reading was done of the book in the US by Samuel L. Jackson, who may well have taken out a patent on the word fuck.
And might have actually just, you know, brought the odd criminal element to it.
Absolutely. It was a whole different kind of Pulp Fiction feel. And I listened to that and was entertained by it, and I thought, well, we're publishing this book in Australia. How do we give it a local feel? And of course, Noni is the icon of Australian children's television. She presented on Play School for more than 20 years, and a lot of the little kids who watched her on Play School are now young parents themselves. So I sent her a copy of the book, and she instantly fell in love with it, and we organised to do a reading, and she did it superbly.
Oh, didn't she just?
Mm. She is a weekly panellist here on this show. You're listening to Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. Michael Haywood is our guest. And, Michael, we're just going to have a bit of a listen to Noni reading the book because it's very easy to fall in love with this. Stick with us.
Hello. The story today is about a little baby who doesn't want to go to sleep. And the baby is making Mummy and Daddy very tired. Do you know a baby like that? Here's the story. The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have lain down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please go the fuck to sleep. The windows are dark in the town, child. The whales huddle down in the deep. I'll read you one very last book. If you swear, you'll go the fuck to sleep.
It's comedy gold.
And how could you not fall in love with that? I'm imagining, you know, Big Ted and Jemima there with Noni as she's reading that story.
And she's got this delightful little laugh. This is, do you know a little child like that? I mean, yeah, we all do. That's the thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, one is this reading is done, the book's written by a man who's the father of a young child, but the reading is done by a woman. And I think what you can hear in Noni's reading is she absolutely gets that blending of the very, very loving parent whose level of exasperation is rising with every rhyme, as it were.
I do. You do see that build in it runs for roughly 5 minutes, and that build where you see Noni start to sort of gently express her frustration. And look, it's really, really delightful in terms of, you know, the type of message that it conveys. And it's very realistic. And Noni's on the record last week saying, look, I actually had one of my children didn't sleep properly. And this really made sense to me. So I was really surprised when I watched on Twitter late, I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday last week, that it had been pulled off YouTube. So talk us through what happened there, because it was up, it was just going completely viral, and then it was pulled down.
Well, I think we're as mystified as anybody, particularly since YouTube pulled it off, because it fell into the category of a harmful activity, which is completely hilarious and ridiculous. And as someone observed last week, when it was pulled off, that clearly YouTube thought that Noni Hazlehurst was a much more dangerous personage than Samuel L. Jackson.
Because she does look a lot more hardcore than Samuel, doesn't she?
I have to say, I think if she was reading me that story, I'd be toddling off to bed pretty
well.
Damn quickly,
I feel a bit sleepy
actually.
when I watch it.
I
sent her a text message on Wednesday night saying, are you aware that you've gone completely viral? And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, it's everywhere. And then half an hour later, it'd been pulled down. And so I texted her again and said, look, you know, it's not there now. So I think she was staggered.
Yeah, we were absolutely all staggered. And of course, the Twitterverse took over. I honestly think YouTube probably have no idea why they pulled it down. Perhaps
it's the expletives. I'm sure they've got some sort of monitoring
there was,
in
there. Was talk the next day that the reason they pulled it down because it was posted by somebody who was allegedly under the age of 18, which contravenes their guidelines and their terms and conditions. Now, I find that a little bit
because everyone
odd.
Tells the truth on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can assure you that it was posted by an adult. But, you know, this book has, there have been calls from Family First in New Zealand to ban the book, and I can imagine
that
there are
people
out there who's, I mean, there was a tweet which came really, really soon after we put it online from somebody who said with wonderful wit, "My childhood doesn't know what to do with itself anymore." And there probably was someone who flagged it as inappropriate, and, you know, YouTube have an assembly line every morning where they chop a whole lot of appalling videos down, and poor old Noni doing what is, you know, going to become an absolutely iconic and legendary reading copped that. But, you know, the nature of the internet is that, of course, people reposted it almost straight away. Mm. We put our version onto Vimeo, where it's sat very happily ever since, and it's back up on YouTube now. So
it's had, I looked at it today, it's had nearly 70,000 hits.
I know.
It's going off like a frog in a sock, mate. But, you know, tonight's show is about censorship, and we thought that this was a really good example of just another way that...
Well, censorship gone wrong.
Yeah, censorship just getting a little bit full of itself, really.
Yeah, I think if you're going to have a moral panic over Noni Hazelhurst reading a published book, you're likely to be panicking many times every day.
Indeed. One of the other things, as somebody who works in and around public relations, I think this is probably one of the best PR exercises I've seen in some time.
Well, look, it was wonderful that she wanted to do it. Anyone who's been a parent understands that curious thing that happens when you read a story which might be a tiny bit scary or a tiny bit old for a child. There's the comfort of the parent's voice, which is articulating these ideas. And I think that's why, you know, reading stretches the imagination of children and of people who continue to read into adult life. And the absolute beauty of Noni's reading is that you can see she dramatizes perfectly the kind of increasing exasperation, and yet the story's very tender, and she brings out the absolute tenderness of it. So I think finally we can all feel very safe that Noni has read Go the Fuck to Sleep.
But Noni could read the phone book and probably put a child to sleep. She has that ability to...
Yeah, we should commission her, actually.
She is the consummate performer, and it's certainly our privilege every week to have her as a guest on our show. And, look, your timing's great because we are chatting with her later about censorship. So, you know.
Well, yeah, she's had a direct taste of it. But honestly, of all the outcomes that we expected, the last that we thought was that YouTube would shut us down. So there you go.
Well, there's no PR like good PR, and if it's free,
you've
and
done
it's picked
well.
Up by the media, it's
well,
cost
that's
you bugger
true.
All.
Had we been writing the script, it would have said 8 hours after we post the video on YouTube, YouTube will pull it off. But no, it wasn't down for very long, and I'm sure if any of your listeners haven't seen it yet, they should go and have a look, Google it, and
just type in those lovely words.
Yes,
and they'll get a real laugh out of it.
Perhaps we could tweet out a link to it later on.
I think maybe we should, because when I googled it, a bit of Samuel came up and other bits and pieces. So we'll tweet that YouTube link for you, and we'll copy you into that as well at Text Publishing.
Bravo.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for your time, Michael.
Yeah,
have a
really
good night.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Too, mate. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Serena, the time's going very fast.
It is. It's flying by. I was just about to say something that I shouldn't. But, you know, speaking of which,
we're going to talk censorship. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9, and we're very pleased, as always. She's almost here. We're back. Noni's with us again. Hello, Noni.
Hi.
Noni's in the house.
Hello.
Gosh, she's very, very enthusiastic
I know,
for this time of night.
She's very bright.
I'm always bright.
It's because she's been out in the fresh, chill air, getting off the bus. Walking a block and a half to get to the studio?
I know.
No, that's me, and I don't even have to walk. Hey, a couple of weeks ago there was a story around about these bus shelter ads, and I've been meaning to ask your opinion on the way we censor ourselves and the way that we are censored. Censorship is something I think is fairly close to your heart.
Absolutely. I find I'm actually quite active in this area because I take great offence on behalf of preschool children particularly, and primary school children, about them being bombarded by images of things that really do not advance the plot of their lives one iota. And I've had accusations of, you know, dried up old prune, harridan, rose-coloured glasses.
That's a word that's not used enough in common parlance.
What sort of examples, give us an example of the stuff that you're opposed to.
Well, anything to do basically with sexualized images,
yep.
particularly of women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't think it helps young children to have images of things that they're not developmentally ready to assimilate, particularly if they haven't got an adult who can contextualise what they're seeing.
What was your stance on the Bill Henson photo stuff?
I thought it was absolutely a media beat-up.
Mm.
Had a person not made a complaint to police, I mean, he's been doing that stuff for 150 years.
And it was
and
all
you have to choose consent? To go and see it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
So it's not in your face every, you know, every corner, every
But also
magazine.
the young women that participated in that photography had parental consent.
Absolutely.
They had informed consent.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if we restrict what kids see within a schooling environment, how do we then police the stuff that they see outside of school?
Well, I think
we can't.
I think society should be much more conscious of the effect it has on young children. And, you know, you get dingbats saying, why should I have to, you know, be censored? Because, you know, my little sister can't read, so she's not going to... Yes, but the 8-year-old might be able to read, or a 10-year-old might be able to read. And why do they need to know about, you know, erections? And it's just appalling that we don't have more of a moral stance and about the heads of young children. I'm talking 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and they're seeing images of women bleeding with knives and, you know, in a bikini bottom and laying back and having men dribbling over them and stuff. It's just not right.
But if we extrapolate that a bit further and go the other way, I've got some nieces that are in a very exclusive private school.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a religious foundation, a Roman Catholic foundation. And they've been told categorically in their RE lessons that if you're gay, you're going to hell.
Oh, well, that's appalling.
So,
it's,
you know,
in Texas, teachers can't talk to students about homosexuality anymore. It's
illegal.
Well,
there's 30 different suburbs in Texas alone that can refuse you service if you're gay.
Which in 2011 is just abominable nonsense.
Staggering.
You have to find that repugnant.
But, you know, my niece, my sister and her husband have paid good money for their children to be taught this crap. You know, they've got a gay aunt.
Well, there's the differentiation is there.
You should not
and must not censor conversation about ideas and concepts and how people live their lives. But you must and should censor images that are
gratuitous
and misleading.
But can also impact on psychological development.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, when you're showing, you know, pictures of women bleeding and you know, all sorts of things.
Being pulled by their hair in the, you know,
this helps. This can shape the sexual appetite of young people and
it can shape
their sexual norms.
So can watching Rage on a Saturday morning.
Completely.
You know, the way that video clips for songs are made.
Mm-hmm.
And young people are accessing popular music more than we ever did. I grew up with Charlie Pride and the Bay City Rollers.
Done you no harm, has it?
No.
Look, I was asked to produce a short film that involved a young girl being molested in the storyline. And I just said, you know what?
I don't want to do it.
No.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to be seen
because
to participate.
That is traumatic.
I don't want to be seen to participate in any storyline that talks about that stuff.
Mm.
And I don't want to have a young kid scripted and cast to go through that, even in make-believe.
And there's a lot of bullshit talked about nanny states and you know, that we're just censoring everything. It's not true. I mean, a nanny is meant to look after children.
Yes.
That's a nanny's job. So we should, as a community and as a society, be mindful about how best to look after children and after children is to protect them.
I'm going to come from the other side on this, because we find in this community, in the queer community, that we are constantly censored. And, you know, by having two blokes hugging one another on an ad in a bus shelter, there are sectors of the community that find that is offensive and their children shouldn't be subjected to it, because we're all of a sudden promoting...
But there's nothing offensive, you know, and that's just...
There's nothing
just
offensive
not
about
to
life.
Us.
No, there's nothing offensive about two fully clothed people hugging each other, whether they're same sex
but
or not.
But my argument is that there are portions of the community that say that is...
And who adjudicates that?
And yet, you know, they can have pictures.
There are portions of the community who are more upset about the way cattle are treated overseas than the way refugee children are treated here.
Absolutely. But this same portion of the community I'm talking about will happily show their children this image of a man crucified and not find that offensive. And
there's a long way to go.
Well, let's talk more locally about, you know, we've worked in a similar work setting where we were actively censored around our homosexuality. We were asked not to mention it.
What?
Yep.
Well, and not overtly.
Not overtly mention it. And because Pete and I.
We have a certain way of communicating.
We do.
Our dialogue is fairly. Oh, it would make a wharfie blush at times.
Well, no, the thing is that I think it's important to deconstruct words like homo.
Mm. Yep.
And poof, you know, and that sort of stuff.
We ring one another and say, you know,
hello, homo.
What are you doing, homo? And I often talk, and I was talking context with my family when I was with them all a few weeks ago, and I'm like, freaking homos do this, and you know the homos. And just referring to the homos as almost in a sort of disparaging way, but with jest and not with malice. Mm. And, you know, my family understand that.
But take heart, because a few weeks ago on Q&A, Penny Wong appeared, and the question was asked of the panel, can a misogynist be a good lover? And we live in such a wonderful country that is bit by bit trying to change. And they got to Penny, and there was a huge laugh, and she said, I wouldn't know.
Mm.
And in all absolute free enjoyment, the whole, it was celebrated there for a moment that she was gay.
Clearly Tony Abbott wasn't there.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And Tony Jones, to his great credit, kept pushing it and saying, yes, but can you imagine when she would have, finally she said, look, I wouldn't have thought so, you know. But how fantastic that there can be an openly gay senator in this country.
Mm. But we've had one for years who's been the leader of the Greens.
Yes, I know. But isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it's wonderful that there are more.
Mm.
And I think if we said, okay, to be representative of the populace, there should be 10%. You know, there's been a push by both major parties to recruit more women over the last 20 or 30 years. There should now be an opportunity to recruit more diversity, and that diversity will cover sexuality, it'll cover race. When are we going to see an African member of parliament?
But to get back to censorship, if we keep perpetrating these horrible images, these overtly horrible sexualized images
that
it's not doing anything
women.
For the gay community either.
No,
oh, absolutely,
no,
because
it's not.
Engendering a violent response
to
anybody.
It creates an image of the gay community that I don't relate to.
No,
and it's not a community that I'm part of. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I don't. Greg and I, who's our technical producer on this show, we were talking about. There's a lot of gay rags out that speak to a whole stack of issues that I don't relate to.
Sure.
And
but we in ourselves are guilty for the objectification of men and women, and probably more so for gay men.
But we don't trade in images of that. I don't. I don't trade in images of gay women. I don't promote images of nude women or objectify.
Find any advertising that is targeted, and I'm going to talk from a bloke's perspective. Find me any piece of advertising that is targeted to gay men, and you've got a man with a sculpted body in a pair of jocks or a pair of Speedos.
And what percentage of the community does that image represent?
Well, very few, but then it's created an industry almost of, you know, people being preened and plucked and waxed and spending every other moment at the gym because they see that this is the way that they should look because that's what the community is telling them.
Yeah, because those images are ubiquitous. That's the problem.
Absolutely, and I think we're probably more guilty in that respect in this community of that objectification and those gratuitous images.
See, I don't take responsibility. I'm not going to agree with that. I don't participate in the objectification of women other than say, oh my God, she's great, she's fabulous, she's hot. I would never be...
I'd tap that.
Well, yeah, you know, I would never want to be... You know, grouped into that, into your view on that, because I'm not representative of that.
I just don't want to be sucked in as a consumer. I mean, I'm just over being told, obviously, how I should look, what I should buy to be cool. You know, all of these things about
censorship is
self-beautification and buy this, do that. You know, have one of these,
eat this, drink
that. It's just telling you to buy stuff.
Mm.
And one of the few things I'm proud of as a mother. It's when I was sitting in the movies with my then 4-year-old and all the ads came on, and in the moment of silence between the ads, my 4-year-old yelled out, "Stop trying to sell me stuff!" Well-trained boy.
There you are, Phil Morgan.
But all these images are about a kind of... What's the term that applies to men and women about misogyny?
I don't know.
Well, let's make one up.
Misogynist doesn't like women.
Yes, so who doesn't like... Anyone.
Men.
Mm. Tony Abbott.
a hater.
Yeah, look, we just got to stop these violent sexual images.
And as content makers, we have a role in that.
Yeah,
we have a role in the promotion of images and content that doesn't buy into the sexualization of men or women.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
And we do that via email, we do it via the internet, we do it in the radio show that we make.
Mm. Bit by bit by bit.
By bit, we don't participate in censorship.
Inch by inch, row by row.
No, don't start.
Noni, thank you as always.
Thanks,
More
Nones.
Insight into the things that affect
into
our
stuff.
Daily lives, yeah.
Joy.
Joy.
94.9.
Oh, fuck me. Oh,
look, we agreed that I'd get the next one.
We did too. Yeah. Hey, welcome back. This is Salt and Pepper. Pardon the foul language, but it's being used in context because we have our regular commentator, social commentator. Are we calling you a social commentator? That sounds just a bit wrong, doesn't it? It makes you sound like George Negus.
I don't have a moustache. Okay, well, I do, but you can't see it.
Fair enough.
It's Noni Hazelhurst, everyone.
As if you didn't know.
She's back, joining us on this very cold evening.
Oh, I know. Can winter be
Isn't
gone already?
I quite like winter. I don't mind it. I've got some kick-ass central heating. I'm quite happy at home.
And now two snuggies.
Don't swear. Kick bottom.
Yes, I've got a fabulous, would be fabulous central heating.
Not shit hot then.
No. See, you might be getting the idea that there's a reason that we've got Noni here, and that's to talk about
filth. Curb your filth.
To curb our filth, because I have
She's got a bar of soap.
And I'm not afraid to use it.
I have a potty mouth, and I get in trouble when I'm at the football.
Because that's linked to the previous statement?
Yes, because there's people turn around and say, mate, there's kids here. And it's like, take them to fucking church. Because this is the football. And it's
that's
a place where
inconsiderate.
Well, it's a place where you can be passionate. And I've got to curb my potty mouth, and I thought, you could help.
Come here. Bend over. No, look, you don't need to be swearing to be passionate. That's just lazy.
Yes, I know. And this is Serena and I were on a tram the other day, and I think the most surprising thing in that sentence is Serena was on the tram and not in the Magna.
There was an issue with the Magna. I was forced to take
it was
public
so
transit.
Full of snuggies you couldn't get in.
You've got to stop buying those two at a time.
And, like Noah's Ark.
These young women from a private school over in the inner sort of southeastern suburbs.
So you'd expect better.
Well, you would, because you're paying a hell of a lot more for their education. You'd hope they learn a few more words than like, because that was in every...
Totes.
Yeah.
Totes.
And it's. I was astounded at the language that these young women were using, and not all of it profane, but just the way that they were speaking. And I thought, I think I'm getting old. What's happened in our world where... The young private school girls...
They're just reflecting their cultural influences. I mean, it's not a mystery to know that language is becoming severely depleted and diminished and people are using fewer and fewer words.
Is that the social networking influence that we've got 140 characters in which to express our earthly
and
desires
every
morning?
And the F-bomb and the C-bomb just... You know, encapsulates five or six words at any one time.
It does.
It does for me.
And it's easy to spell an A, squiggle, dot, asterisk.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I just think it's lazy. I think it's a real shame because the more that becomes the norm, the less the great literature has a role to play. And I think if you're ignoring some of the great writings of the past, you are living a lesser life.
But we haven't all run around speaking
doing
well,
love.
Speaking like Dickens and Shakespeare for decades and decades.
And why do you think I'm talking about Dickens and Shakespeare?
Well, you're talking about great literature.
Please.
I suppose Cloud Street's great literature.
Yeah, that's right. Please. I mean, it's anyone who uses
Christos?
The language Sarkis? Evocatively makes great literature, whether it's writing songs or whatever it is. But look at some of the songs that are out. You know, what about this Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Oh, that Friday song! I could have strangled that young lady.
But are we in too much of a hurry to get to the punchline of what we're saying? Do we shortcut it by using foul words, and just to get the laugh?
I don't think it's all about getting
do you know
the
what
gag.
I mean? It's you know. Yeah.
I just think it's laziness. I just, you know,
I think we're just taking too many shortcuts.
My kids do the like stuff, and I. Oh, bring them up on it. I just say, like. Was it like that or was it that? And they,
It's infuriating.
Well, I just say you've got to know when to stop it. As do it with your friends, but if you're going for a job, who are you going to give the job to? The kid that goes, oh, well, like, you know, like, I did, like, year 12, like, and I, you know, like, came out of school and, like, you know. Or are you going to give the job to the person who says, I did year 12 and I came out of school and I got a job working at so-and-so?
And I like
and they
it.
Went, and they go, oh, yeah, get it.
Yeah.
So they can switch it off to the point where I heard one of them correcting one of their friends, you know, all the others is like, mum. I go, yeah, I know.
Mm. The other
point
term
it out, that, point it out, point it out.
The other term that has really gives me the prickles is the use of the word gay.
Oh, you know, that's so good. That's been going on for such a long time.
It has.
10 years at least. Mm.
And I've now got a whole village of nieces and nephews who use it all the time.
And they think it's very funny.
No, well, they don't. When they use it, they turn around and they go, oh, sorry. Mm. And I go to the football with a bunch of blokes, and I mean a bunch of blokes.
And you should see what Pete wears at the footy.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. However... they'll scream out, oh, I'm playing stupid faggot. And then they immediately turn to, because there's a couple of us that are gay, turn to us and they're like, oh, you know, sorry, you know, we don't mean that with offence. And it's like, well, just choose another word.
Why is it always that those terms are used in the pejorative sense?
Well, it's a bit like women. It's a bit like saying, oh, you sound like a girl. Mm. You know, it's...
well, she's such a bitch.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's bullying. That's just a form of bullying because you insult people that you think aren't going to smack you in the mouth. But hey, they haven't met me.
Indeed, the pocket rocket that is Noni Hazelhurst.
Yes, that's right.
Indeed.
That's
right. So you think it's laziness that has caused
the
destruction of the language.
And it's not helped by, you know, the commentators that kids are watching. You know, you only have to turn on MTV or any of those things. Hey, like, woo, man, you know, like, you're doing, like, you know, I mean, the gibbon-like.
It's just agonising.
It is agonising.
It's agonising listening to them talk.
But I could say the same for listening to Sophie Mirabella on Q&A, who can't form a sentence without being destructive.
I think that's moving away from the notion of filth, though, isn't it? I mean, I think that, you know, she's not dropping C-bombs every third word.
No,
that's I just content. Think that that's a content issue, but I think there is
she's
a lot of...
She's talking crap.
She's talking yes. shite. There's a lot of foul-mouthed young ones around, and I don't know why they use those words just to get their... The bang for their buck.
Probably been in the car with you.
But it's also the lack of, it is about, to me, I think it's about a lack of respect because just as people say to you, there are kids around.
Yeah.
These kids couldn't give a flying thing about who hears them. And there are
and
people
that's what
who are
worries
offended.
Me.
There
that's
are people who are seriously
well.
Upset by it.
There's a whole stack of young people out there that if you tune them in about their language on a tram or something like that, they will tell you where to go. And in unashamedly,
yes,
they're
no
not afraid.
Terms.
When I was a kid, the first thing you do is you get up and you give your seat to an oldie.
Absolutely.
And that's someone in their 20s, for God's
yeah,
sake.
Yeah.
And you don't dare swear around anyone that's old.
But I think there's a complete different generation to it for when you and I grew up because I was very much the same. Give up a seat on the tram or the train. I get on my train now and it's not just the kids that sit on the seats. It's their bloody school bags on the seat next to them. It's like, do you think you might move that?
Why do you think I don't do public transport? I can't bear them. They're just revolting. I spend all my time telling them off. Get up, there's an old lady. I'm like this bloody... You know, I'm the host of the tram and I'm going to get my head kicked in.
But
Better off in the Magna.
I think you're both sounding very old and elderly and thing, but I just think...
and thing.
Thing.
Like thing?
Yeah, like yeah. thing. But I do think it's about respect and find another way of saying something. You know, it's so interesting to try and learn new words. I love
it. And there are so many words there to use.
Yes.
There's periods of time in my life where I find that I might use the F word more than I should. And I have to really keep an eye on it.
Usually in an open plan office.
Yes, well, we've been sanctioned a few times for that, haven't
Look,
we,
there are
Pete?
Times when it's appropriate.
Indeed. But the overuse of it, it just reminds me that sometimes I need to, you know, rein it in.
Yes. So,
I use the word frick.
Freak.
Instead.
Do we have an answer to this?
We don't. There's no answer.
People, don't be so lazy. Lift your,
don't be so
lift
rude.
Your tongue from the gutter.
Don't be crude.
And speak nice, right?
Like nice.
All right, Noni, thank you as always for coming
Thanks,
and joining
Nones.
Us. We love you here on Tuesday night.
Riff and worries.
It's the highlight of our week.
Indeed it is.
Get out more.
Here on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
Well, that really wraps up Salt and Pepper for the year. You've had an hour of Noni Hazelhurst, and that's our gift to you from Serena and Pete. She will join us again next year on Salt and Pepper, and we love her as part of our family. We have a couple of new international interviews to bring you early on in the year. We'll continue to hold the politicians of Australia to account around all things equality and reducing discrimination in our community. And we'd like to ask you to log on to our Facebook page, which is Salt and Pepper. Also send us a tweet at Salt and Pepper Joy. We love hearing your tweets and your thoughts, and we love it when you send us story ideas as well. So we wish you a very happy new year. Stay safe, and we will see you in 2012.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
So you know, and I'm a girl. I'll be spewing if I got a fishing rod.
Thank you.
Oh, now don't start.
They like it.
Gutting dead things. Awesome.
Smashing its head with a rock.
But yeah, I really
she
feel.
Asked your opinion, you
don't
it.
Ask my opinion if you don't want it.
This song is about daytime lovemaking. The naughty type. I'm talking about enjoying a bowl of chicken soup with a Reuben and then making dirty Reuben love. Afternoon delight.
Soup's on.
Yes, that'll be nice quality time.
Indeed it is.
Fry.
How do you like your steak? Well done or waterlogged?
Mike's are on.
This puppy.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.